They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WEBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Joining me today, I have, I think, everybody's favorite guest. Everybody says that we should clone this particular guest. And I don't think that he's clonable, but he's always willing to come back on. Bill Davis, thank you so much. Thanks for joining us.
You're way too kind. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. You're the one that's clonable, that should be cloned. Everyone wants to clone you because they love what you have to say.
Awesome.
So, we're going to tell a story today. We're going to talk about the beginnings. In the beginning, we had everybody living in urban areas in the big cities all around the country. And if you got out of the city limits, you were out in the country. And getting out to the city limits, getting out of the city limits was not always easy because what you had, there were no roads, there were no, you know, transportation. There was very little out there.
Right.
But as soon as cars became more available and affordable and the economy improved and roads were built to accommodate these cars that people were buying, people wanted to flee the urban core. They wanted to get out for a very special reason. They wanted to have room for their kids to play, be out in the fresh air, enjoy exercising, enjoy running around, enjoy throwing a ball, have fun with a dog, all of the things that they were not able to do in an apartment in a city. And so they started moving out, but there was a huge price to pay for that. Bill, we've talked a lot about what's going on, and we've talked about... We have a picture, by the way. If you're not getting my promo, if you're not going on my website on thecommons.net, please go there because we have a picture of what it was like to live in the core, in the urban cores for little children. And you will be...
That picture scares me, Sue.
It's horrifying, Bill. It's absolutely horrifying. And
yes.
You were talking about when you bought your house and what you were looking for. And
yes.
You were looking for room for your kids. You wanted your kids to have some place to play and run around and just enjoy themselves, right?
Well, and to be fair, not just for the kids. We wanted some, I guess you'd call it green space, away from other neighbors. And we weren't interested in what they call common area or, you know, none of this shared space nonsense. We wanted our own space, our own private space.
And did you get it?
Well, we did. It came coupled with, you know, unfortunately an HOA that had a lot of issues. But we did find a house and a few acres around it for our own enjoyment.
But it also had the common areas, which is something you told me you were that you enjoyed, the pool, the playground for the kids, someplace where they could go and run around with other kids in the neighborhood, meet people.
We weren't necessarily looking for those things, but every one of these places seems to have them. And after experiencing this mess, I started calling them buyer fly traps, because it's really put out there by the developer to as an incentive for parents looking, oh, hey, there's a playscape for your kids. There's a pool. There's a, you know, playhouse. There's a creek, you know, these kind of things. And it, you know, it was attractive at the time. We didn't realize what it was going to be coupled with, or the HOA could decide who's allowed to use any of these things after you've moved in and after you've been paying for them through your assessments, not to mention the fact that you paid a higher price for land in order that the developer could recover his cost of putting those things in to begin with.
And so that's where the property values comes in. See, you had to pay more for it, which is why you have all these amenities. But the thing is, that's a lie, isn't it?
It is a lie. And I don't think it increased property value. It increased property cost. And it increased it on an ongoing basis. And this nonsense about preserving property values, well, the only thing that matters is the difference between when you bought it and when you sold it for people that are into that part, the difference between those two. But we also expected decent use and enjoyment of it while we were there. It's not a piece of stock. It was a house to raise a family in.
That, going back to that picture, people in cities had nowhere for their kids to play. And so this was a dream come true. A lot of people say that a house with a white picket fence out in the suburbs is the American dream. We are losing that American dream because it comes attached to an HOA where, you know, there's incredible discrimination against kids. They don't want them playing outside. They don't want them running around. You can say, all right, you know, for the safety, you don't want them playing in the streets. You understand that. You know, I don't have a problem with that. But you even have places where kids, and in fact, there was a story out of Texas, probably not far from where you live a couple of years ago, where this family was being fined because the mother sat outside with her baby, with her small child, who was using chalk, sidewalk chalk, on the sidewalk in front of the house.
Right.
And they were being fined and harassed and abused and
right.
all of that. So, you know, they don't want the kids playing there. There's stories about people whose kids were not allowed to play in wide open fields. There's nothing there because they, you know, some of these nasty people didn't want kids playing around. So in one case, they planted trees to prevent the kids from playing in the field. And fortunately, every single one of those trees died. But the kids were still not allowed to play.
Well, there's some front fields where I am, about 125 acres of them that the kids are supposed to be playing in, except they're surrounded by barbed wire, and the HOA maintains cattle in them. So how are the kids going to play in there? And I realize that's probably not the same situation most of your listeners are dealing with by long shot, but it gets to what you're saying, is that they don't really want to see kids or anything like that around. They've tried shutting down lemonade stands. They've made sure that the children's amenities deteriorated to where they're absolutely unsafe and had to be torn down, in preference for things like a driving range for the retired folks. This is not a senior citizen center. This is not a country club. It's actually a rural subdivision that was built on an old ranch. And so it had some areas that gave rise to being able to implement some of these things. And so that's what the developer planned out.
Why, Bill, do they have cattle? I mean, since when do HOAs have cattle?
Well,
I mean, that's a unique one. I thought I'd heard everything that happens in an HOA. That's a new one.
This is going to be almost sacrilegious probably in Texas, but I call it lawn art. They want longhorns for lawn art. And so they're trying to paint this false picture of this rustic, you know, ranch with longhorns running on it. Look, longhorns are very respectable animals. They are tough critters, and they are more hardy than just about any other, certainly domestic cattle that there are out there. However, they're not moneymakers. If you wanted to have animals to make money, you'd get Angus or something like that. These are purely for lawn art, and they have them wandering around the front fields, which pretty much ensures that, you know, the kids can't play on them.
So we're having problems with health issues with kids. They're not getting enough exercise. They're getting sick. They're getting diabetes. They're getting all kinds of other things. And yet the way we live is contributing to that. And when kids have all this energy that they want to blow up and they want to run around and they want to have a good time, we're putting impediments in their way and making them stay indoors. People are being fined for allowing their kids to be outside. People are being fined for allowing their kids to have bikes in the front yard. I mean, what are we doing, Bill?
It's pretty obnoxious. There's a woman on my street that had some very small children, and the HOA management company, you know, the one that I headed by a former senator in the state, was sending her these really tacky, threatening to fine. And of course, this is when they were entangling fines with assessments that they could threaten you with foreclosure and generate management company late fees off this stuff. But they kept sending her fines and all these threatening letters because there were children's bicycles, you know, in the yard. Now, keep in mind, we don't have privacy fences, so you can see quite a ways. My lot is 450 feet deep, okay? That's easily, you know, many multiples of what a typical city lot depth is. You can still see back there, but at what point is it not the HOA's business, and it's your business to do what you want to in your backyard? You know what I'm saying? I mean, what's the point if you can't put up a privacy fence? When do you get to enjoy your yard?
Of course, so. Now they're talking about getting drones to fly over and take pictures of your yard, just to make sure that you're in compliance. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, drones probably wouldn't survive too long in the area, the state that I live in, so.
They'd probably get shot, right?
Something like that, yep.
That's one of my friends, the late Fred Goldbecker, said, go and get the camouflage netting and cover your entire backyard with the camouflage netting so that nobody can see what's going on. In those days when Fred died, they didn't have drones. We'd never heard of drones, least not, you know, not the small ones that an HOA would use. But what they were doing was flying helicopters overhead and taking pictures. And so he said, get some camouflage material, and here's where you can get it, and here's what it costs. Just cover your backyard with that.
Right. Well, I can't easily cover my backyard with that stuff, but I hear you.
Because you couldn't do that. But what difference does it make, Bill, if you're in the backyard, it's your backyard, and nobody can see it, and it's not
a
health problem?
Well, actually, if you drive far enough around, you can see it, but it's sort of, you know, this is so many more times larger than a standard city lot, even. On the one hand, they don't want you to have private fences, and so you know what started happening in our subdivision back about 10 years ago after the management company showed up and started wreaking havoc? Is homeowners started building expensive stone walls to try to exclude the HOA from their house. So where they couldn't see it, where the HOA people couldn't, you know, have any idea what was going on back there.
So stone walls were allowed, but fences weren't.
Pardon me?
Stone walls were allowed, but fences weren't.
Correct.
Hey.
So it cost people a mint to put it up, but that's how annoying the HOA was. And, of course, you know, these guys, oh, you improve your property value. Well, so does kind of any improvement on the property. You just poured that much more money into it, but that's not an excuse to require people to put that on the property.
So we're talking about things that you necessarily can't see from the backyard, but what about things that you can see? I mean, here we are at the time of year when we're going to have flag flap after flag flap because HOAs don't like flags. For some reason, they don't like flags. There's federal legislation that says you are allowed to have it. Of course, CAI went in and said, you can't just give them carte blanche authority to fly a flag on their own property on Memorial Day, on the 4th of July. You have to give them guidelines because they're children. They don't know how to fly a flag. And so we're already hearing about the stories, yeah?
Right. Well, they compromised the legislation, and everybody points to Part A of that statute, but Part B is basically says, notwithstanding the above, the HOA can dictate when you can fly it, where you can fly it, and just this whole list of things and all the conditions upon being able to fly it. And governmental offices aren't held to those kind of standards. And so those were really standards intended for government agencies as to how they display the flag. And CAI turned it into another, hey, look at all the different ways we can come up with fining people. If they violate any of these things, we get the board to adopt a rule that says you just, you know, get their permission and you do it this way. If they violate any of those, it's another opportunity for a fine and the threat of a lawsuit, and more late fees for management companies and more litigation for the HOA attorneys. It's ugly.
So if you put it up 2 minutes before you're allowed to, you can be fined?
I mean, I guess if they catch you.
Let's get down to brass tacks. We're not talking about major violations. We're talking about some of the most nitpicky, dumbest garbage that you can, you know, that there somebody is going to find you in violation of.
Right.
Am I correct?
Yes. If it's left up after a certain time, then there's the condition of the flag. There's the location of the flag. Several states like this one have had to adopt further legislation to say an HOA can't stop you from doing it this way. But, of course, that legislation is usually compromised by the industry folks looking for ever more opportunities to generate fines and things out of it. That's one of the reasons we're challenging the authority of an HOA to fine. It's just not appropriate. It's a contractual relationship. They don't have any authority to fine.
I like that, and I hope you win. And notwithstanding the fact that two states have already found it unconstitutional, we're still fining, even in Virginia. Because
they have to just be beat down. I'm just surprised there haven't been more suits over this with the amount of money that they're trying to get through fines. It's nothing but a windfall, usually for the HOA and the management company.
You know why, Bill? What's really scary is people have accepted it as just a normal part of life. You have to be able to say, look, this, you just can't do that. I mean, this is unreasonable. We didn't buy a house to have some idiot tell us what to do and then fine us because they don't like the way we do it and then take away our house. And that's what we're dealing with, Bill.
All right. I think that they're stealing people's health. That needs to be looked at. How about the effect these things have on people's health, their familial life, and their workplace life? How big of an effect are these things all over the United States, and how much better would health care be or the reduction in health care needed if you didn't have these things?
Well, Gary Solomon has written several papers on that. He's written a whole ebook. HOA Crisis in America. You can go look it up. And he details with pictures and stories and all kinds of medical facts on how stress affects you, and stress is what is absolutely what affects your health and what you get in an HOA. But you mentioned your familial relationships, Bill.
Yeah.
And we know that about 50% of all marriages end in divorce.
Yeah.
How much of that is attributable to HOAs?
I don't know. However, the Federal Fair Debt Collection Practices Act has an intro near the top that explains why that act was needed. And it's basically to defend against these unscrupulous debt collectors. And it's funny because all of those reasons apply to HOAs and even in the context of debt collection. And here's CAI begging that that act not be applied to management companies and HOAs, even though everything it says in there is an accurate representation of why you need protection for what's going on with these HOAs.
Well, the HOA attorneys, the debt collectors, the attorneys quite often.
Pardon me?
I said it's they don't want the attorneys to be held responsible or to be held accountable.
Right. Well, the public policies are directed at the management companies, and they want to, quote, restore the consensus that the FDCPA shouldn't apply to management companies, which is a joke. There's not a consensus, and they're held accountable in many states. But they'd like for it to not be actionable as to management companies.
I asked one of the CAIers how not being held to the standards of the FDCPA would help them. How is the FDCPA impeding their ability to collect a past a debt? And so I went through the litany of stuff that you're not supposed to do. You're not supposed to lie. You're not supposed to cheat. You're not. I said, is that a problem? Oh, no. Is that a problem? Oh, no. So I said, so what's the problem? Well, I don't have a problem with it. Oh, really? So why are you fighting this? Well, we don't want to have these nice guys held accountable. You know, Bill.
Well, Sue, I can tell you what the problem is. The reasons the management companies don't want it to apply. The Fair Debt Collection Practices Act also deals with multiple debts. Okay? And in the case of a multiple debt, the debt collector has to apply the funds as instructed by the debtor or the person that's making the payment, okay? And the management companies do not want this to happen because what they do is they use these fines to create a multiple debt. You already have an obligation to pay your assessments, right? Well, they use fines to now create a second debt where you have your assessment plus the fine. So now you got a multiple debt. And when you go pay your assessment, they're going to misapply it to the fine to leave you in arrears on assessments. Okay. Well, the contract that the management company has with the HOA says that the management company collects, say, $30 a month for every month that the homeowner's in arrears. There's no sense in that whatsoever. The management company isn't contributing to the HOA. It isn't making the HOA whole. The HOA isn't actually lessening money because it took, you know, through an accounting trick, reapplied assessment payments to fines. But this trick allows management companies to claim you now owe a late fee to the management company. And they are very aggressive about doing this everywhere. And the FDCPA shuts that practice down. However, in some states like Florida, the industry's gone in and gotten statutes that say your payments go first to pay fines, which makes no sense whatsoever. And what that was all about was preserving the management companies being able to generate these late fees. Now, the attorneys are liable under the FDCPA no matter what. They're debt collectors because they're operating on behalf of another entity. But the question that's not settled, and it depends upon which circuit you're in the federal court system, is whether management companies are liable. But that's why the industry does not want the FDCPA to govern how these management companies operate, because if it did, they're out of the business of being able to get these windfall, you know, quote, late fees for actually not collecting anything.
Wow, they must have amended, because it's been years since I've actually looked at the FDCPA, and they must. It was pretty straightforward and simple in those days.
Well, these guys have been working at this for a long time, and the FDCPA would protect homeowners from this in a multiple debt situation. That's why this industry does not want the FDCPA to apply, so that they can continue to create these multiple debts, then misapply your payments, and then claim that they're entitled to these ridiculous late fees. This legislative session in Texas, Attorney David Kahn was a primary mover behind a bill to address collections by, you know, the industry group. And one of the HOA attorneys who's regularly up at the Capitol lobbying for, you know, the industry groups, made it real clear. I mean, she just opened up and told the legislators flat out that this is how the management companies primarily make their money, is off these, you know, bogus late fees. That they're generally competitive on the amount they're going to charge per month, per door, you know, in the subdivision. But they make up for it with these collection fees that the HOA never sees, because those monies do not go to the HOA. They go to the management company, which has control over all the books and records, all the bank accounts, insurance, and all that stuff. So the HOA never sees, at least in this state, most of the time, the money that the management company is raking off the individual homeowners. And the management company is going to claim it gets that money first. So all the HOA sees is, hey, we didn't get full assessments. We need to go, you know, threaten to foreclose on that guy.
This sounds like thievery and thuggery.
It is thievery and thuggery.
And it's allowed by the by legislation?
Well, the legislation here did embrace it for many years, because guess who authored the legislation? The senator that owned the largest legion of HOA management companies and related businesses in the state. You know, claiming to be writing a homeowner protection bill, he was actually writing a unscrupulous management company protection bill. And that has been amended numerous times since 2000 and I guess it was one, whenever the legislation went in.
So this was after Winona Blevins, the 80-some-year-old whose house was...
Actually, she was used as the excuse for this legislation. It was originally called the Winona Blevins Protection Act.
Yeah.
And that's what's disgusting about the whole thing. It was actually a let's embrace the management company business practices so that homeowners have no defense. That's what it really was.
So how do we get legislators to understand what they're doing? Because this is what's frustrating. They go in, they're in this period where all of these bills come pouring in. They don't know what they're doing. They don't understand what they're doing. They really don't. I mean, I've had legislators say, oh, no, you're wrong. I mean, we would never do a thing like that.
Yeah.
And then she says, we have an attorney here who can explain it. And the attorney says, well, actually, they're absolutely correct. And she's going, unfortunately, that legislator died recently. But
right. Well, the legislation here is kind of easy to kill, and it's probably that way in most states. But there's a couple problems. One, the homeowners aren't usually as organized. They go and vent at the legislature, and sometimes they're painted as crazy.
Yeah, there.
Two, the fix is in most of the time, because the legislators, guess who donates to their campaign?
Right.
It's the developers, the real estate, you know, developers, the builders, and they all want HOAs because it gives them just incredible control over all the homeowners and the homeowners' property. And so that's where the money is, and that's who's giving to these legislators. And then you have the industry folks that come in and paint themselves as experts and falsely represent themselves as representing the homeowners' interests, when they don't really say, yeah, the homeowners that happen to own management companies or who are employed by HOA law firms. And so that's some of the reasons. This session, David Kahn made a lot of progress with the bill, and the big guys didn't show up to protest it. And we kind of figured at that point that's because the fix was already in. There's not a reason. They always showed up in the past. Why wouldn't they show up this time? It's because some arrangement had already been made somewhere that they didn't need to worry about showing up or defending anything. It was going to get killed, and it did. I mean, that sounds like some black hat conspiracy theory, but just watching how they operate over the years, that's the only explanation as to why they didn't bother to show up, because they didn't feel they needed to show up this year.
And the bill was killed.
Yes.
How can we turn around, Bill? How on earth can we turn this around?
Well, I do think, you know, this has become so bad that it's affecting legislators and their family members too. And so it's inevitable that's going to happen to somebody who's going to have a personal interest in doing it instead of just trying to promulgate something that some citizen or donor is asking them to put up there. I do think that that's one part. For myself, I'm just trying to work on achieving some of this stuff judicially because I have very little faith in the legislature. You can look at what all the damage done by that one senator for since the late 80s. He was responsible for the condo bill, which was horrible. All the HOA bills that were just atrocious. He was a real piece of work, and it takes a long time to undo what he had 20 years to do or more.
Yeah, I had been.
I think he was.
Go on.
I was just saying, I think he was kicked out in two sessions ago, so that would have been last year. Probably 2014 is when he lost office. So from at least 1987 forward, that's how long he, or something like that, how long he had been writing these horrible bills.
When I first started doing the show, I heard from a couple of people in Texas who wanted me to interview him because he was doing all of this wonderful stuff for homeowners. In fact, I did call him, and I don't remember what happened. I don't know what happened. I can't remember, but I did try to get him on, and I did try to talk about some of his legislature, but it didn't pan out, which now in hindsight, I'm so glad about, but maybe we'd have punched it full of holes back then. Wait a minute. That doesn't make sense. What are you doing?
Well, you know, he tried suing me a couple of times for basically defamation. And since that time, there have been new laws in Texas that allow defendants in those cases, like me, to counterclaim for attorney's fees and things like that, whereas before you're always stuck in a defensive position. And both times he ultimately just dismissed everything. He lost every single hearing. But what they wanted me to do was to go for a sit-down and listen about, you know, HOAs. And I'm like, why would I want to do that? What a complete waste of time. You know, I've already heard the pitch, and I know it's just completely bogus.
I live in one. I know what they're about.
Yeah. When I was being deposed, they kept asking me about mowing the lawns. I'm like, well, the HOA doesn't mow the lawn. I mow my own lawn, thank you. You know, what about the common areas? No, the HOA doesn't have anything to do with that. There's cattle up there that take care of that. So that's left native, or it gets, or it's allowed to be harvested for hay. But I mean, just the whole thing was, yeah, I don't think I'm going to, what a waste of time. I'm just going to get brainwashed. No, thank you.
So what happened? I mean, I know you won both cases.
Well, it's probably better to say they didn't prevail because I didn't assert any counterclaims. And we did back then, we did not have the anti-slap statute that we have now. So I did, all I could do was defend. But yeah, he lost every single hearing. They lost every thing that they try to do. In the Dallas lawsuit, the judge gave them 5 days to amend their pleadings, and instead they dismissed the next morning. In the Hayes County lawsuit, these are both in Texas, he filed this, actually it would be defamatory, against me. They filed an amended pleading and then promptly dismissed right after filing the amended pleading. It was intended to just sully, you know, the defendant, and at that time, again, the defendant didn't have any power. All they could do is just defend a lawsuit. But the judge kept saying, well, if it's true, then what's defamatory behind it? That's the whole point. Shu, there was absolutely nothing defamatory because, you know, an absolute defense to defamation is truth.
Yeah.
It's like, did he own all these companies? Yes, he did. Was he the president of this management company? Yes, he was. Was this part of his business practices? Yes, he was. And you may remember that Brett Shipp, who was a Dallas reporter, confronted him. I think this is on YouTube still. It was WOAI or WFO A or something like that out of Dallas. And he just walked up and confronted him and said, is this one of your payment policy plans where, you know, does it's really the priority of payment scam. And then from, the senator looked at it and he turned around and walked into the Senate floor and told the they're not called a bailiff. They're the guarded arms, whatever they're called, told them to exclude the reporter from the Senate. So basically he ran off. Of course it was true, you know. So it was purely a bully technique, and that's the way these guys usually operate. And most of the time the homeowners are just scared to death with good cause. They're being threatened with the loss of their house. And yeah. It doesn't cost the management company or the HOA attorney much to do that at all. And I come back to what we discussed a few weeks ago. This is like domestic terrorism. This would be extortion in any other context. And we're going to take your home unless you give us this.
Well, they
and
are taking.
And frequently, it's not assessment.
Yeah, and they are taking. I mean, there's an article that I sent you about
right.
a disabled couple whose house was foreclosed on. They'd owned it for 29 years. Presumably, it had been paid off. And they'd paid their assessments. They'd paid everything, except that they were getting these violation notices for something in their backyard. So what happened, whether they opened them or whether, you know, if they're disabled, maybe it was something that they couldn't take care of. I don't know. But they did. I mean, they lost their home for fines by the HOA.
Yeah.
Why can't people just knock on the door and say there's a problem? Can we help you fix it?
Well, there weren't people involved. It was HOA attorneys and management companies involved. So,
I know. But then they're giving themselves a black eye. Yes, they're getting the money now. They're fleecing the members.
Yep.
But more and more people are wise to them and wise to what they're doing. And they're just not going to buy into it. At some point, I think the whole thing has got to collapse.
I agree with you, although it's very hard to find non-HOA housing because the developers like it and the local government likes it. And so you're not at the table when all these development agreements are being made, and they're certainly not to your benefit. And it's really hard to find non-HOA housing, at least anywhere in the area where I am.
It's not here. You know, they're tearing down. They're even tearing down. They're even tearing down strip malls and building these walkable communities in strip malls.
And of course, all those walkable communities are going to have HOAs.
Well, of course they're going to have HOAs, and they're not going to have parking. And you're going to have to rent a zip car by the hour if you need to go anywhere. That you can't get, you know, it's absolute and utter insanity. And then they're going to put you right back in those little boxes in the sky. And it's terrifying, Bill.
Yeah.
It's absolutely terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. We didn't want to hear everything going on next door. It's one of the reasons we incurred all the cost of essentially commuting for decades. Well, at least more than a decade, about 15 years, by living 25 miles outside of town. And because we wanted a home environment that was not, that you couldn't find in the city. And yet that gets ruined with an HOA. And it's only going to be worse in the city because you're going to have smaller housing, smaller yards, and all those things.
Well, you're going from 2,000 and 3,000 square foot houses down to 500 square feet.
Yeah.
And there are very few larger homes here. They're mostly about 1,000 square feet. And if you move into someplace like New York City, they're really teeny tiny.
Right. Well, just today, the Austin American Statesman has an article in it about what they call Code Next. And it's designed to allow the building of garden apartments, I guess you call them, in certain areas that have a certain residential zoning. And their claim is that this is going to solve Austin's unaffordable housing problem. Of course, it's not going to, because they don't have enough housing for the people that can't afford to pay for it. So what's going to happen? And I don't mean to be snotty about that. I'm just saying, hey, there's a huge housing shortage here, and the people that are looking to do this, they're not interested in, you know, providing, low end housing. They want to maximize their profits off this stuff. So they're going to want to build this wherever they can, and it's not going to solve any affordable housing problem, which is what the claim of the proponents is.
Well, they always claim that HOAs provided affordable housing, and they provided that first rung, the entry into housing, because if you can't take that first step, you're not going to be able to move up. And if you can't move up, the people who are in the next step can't sell, don't have anyone to sell it to, and they can't move
right.
up. So it's kind of but Bill, it doesn't work. The whole thing doesn't work. I thought the whole thing would come down like a house of cards about 20 years ago, but it hasn't yet. I think it's being propped up.
Well, I think it's largely because people don't have a choice about their housing. They can't. It's the only housing that's available to them, at least here, and they have to live somewhere. I mean, housing's a fundamental need. So, but I also see a lot of turnover in the so-called master plan communities where, you know, the developer's still in control. And, people bought in there, but they're also ready to get out as soon as they can. They solve their housing problem initially, and they're sitting in there waiting to find a place that is not in one of these, which makes it so much harder, for in competition for the non-HOA housing. And the other problem is that it's not that the HOA preserves anything. It's just that HOAs have been around for so long, you're having to look at houses built in the 60s and 70s and maybe the 80s where, you know, they're outdated, different construction techniques. This is a rural area, so it's not like it was a big major production home builder building them back then. And, you know, the houses are going to come with other issues. And so that's what you're kind of stuck with if you're trying to find non-HOA housing. Not that the HOA housing is superior, it's just that you can't find anything else.
Well, it's all smoke and mirrors because it's all the newest, and they've got these staging. It's all staged and makes you feel like you want to move right in. The fact is that the older housing is better built. They actually use 2x4s instead of toothpicks to hold the damn thing up. Bill, I'm not kidding. I don't know about Texas, but around here it's all cardboard, scotch tape, wrapped in plastic. I just cannot imagine what the local building code people are thinking when they allow builders to use vinyl siding to cover this paper that's around toothpicks that's held together with scotch tape. If you drive by, you see the paper falling out. They'll just come and slap on these vinyl slats. Those things go off. I mean, they burn like you would not believe.
I can believe it.
I'm serious. It's a death trap. And people are allowed to use it because it's cheap. How exciting.
Yeah.
I live in a cheap house. It's made of plastic and toothpicks and paper held together with scotch tape and a few staples, which leave holes which allow water to penetrate.
I have a case right now where it's kind of funny because the marketing is that, hey, it's your HOA. Yeah, that's kind of like a master to a slave. You know, hey, I'm your master, you know, type of a thing. But what's funny is, you know, I've asked a lot of discovery questions. It's like, wait, let me get this straight. So no homeowner is allowed to be on the board. The homeowners can't run for office. The homeowners have no vote on the board. And yet this organization is supposedly working for their interests. Who are you kidding? You know?
Why aren't homeowners allowed to run for the board?
Developer-controlled subdivision.
Oh, the developer-controlled, yeah.
Right. And so in the term developer and declarant is sometimes used interchangeably because the builders can be different. But essentially, you can't you have no say in anything. And so the developer has routinely just amended the restricted covenants to add more liabilities to the homeowners. Like, oh, I'm going to put a new road in here, and I want y'all to pay for it, so I'm going to go ahead and provide in here that a portion of your assessment needs to be increased to provide for payment and maintenance of this road. You know, okay, great. Well, the homeowners didn't have any say about that road, and they just keep getting saddled with more and more liability. They also don't have any say as to when the road needs to be repaired or if the road's going to be repaired or how to repair the road. They have no say in the contracts, like who's going to be contracted to, repair the road. And so these are just places with massive ability to rake money off of the homeowners to do pretty much whatever the developer wants to. And if you don't do it, you can lose your house, and the next person that gets that house will be in the same boat.
In Florida, they have the CDDs. A lot of people think, oh, isn't it great? We'll just, instead of an HOA, we'll have a CDD. And
they have both.
In some respects, yeah. In some respects, they're worse because the CDD owns all the common property. And the developer just buys and sells to the CDD. He sets the price. The developer sets the price. The CDD has to accept it. There's a 30-year mortgage that goes with that. So at the end of 30 years, you think it's paid off and the CDD goes away? Nope. The CDD can add things, and they say, you vote for these people, and it's not part of an HOA. You vote for them when you go to the polls and vote for your legislators, your state legislators, whenever the polling is done. It's a public vote. So I don't know if the public is allowed to come in and vote on CDD, on the board that runs a CDD or not. I mean, you live here and you're not even in an HOA, and you go to the polls to vote for a governor and state legislators, and you get to vote for the people running for the CDD, and they're going to make decisions that someone else is going to have to pay for. You're not going to have to pay for it because you're not part of that.
Well, here they have MUDs, municipal utility districts, and they've come up with a whole litany of similar things, like a municipal maintenance district, CID, a something improvement district, or water improvement district, or water and conservation improvement district, and all this nonsense. And these are supposed to be political subdivisions of the state. The problem is, ordinarily, you vote for your representatives. But the way the law or the way the statutes have been being changed, and guess by whose influence, is that the developer will request special favors from, a local representative who, by the way, just got a nice contribution from the developer for his campaign. And guess what? You now get a statute proposed or an act proposed to create a municipal management district or a MUD over an area. Well, that's not something for all the legislators to vote on. That's really yes, all the legislators can vote on it, but it won't go to the full floor because it's a local bill. And so the other legislators, they don't care. Sure, I'll support your local bill. You support mine. They don't have any stake or anything in it. Well, these things will have provisions to have non-competitive bid provisions that the developers' people stay in control of it for decades. It's like, what? This is supposed to be a political subdivision of the state where people can run and get elected for office, and yet the people being, quote, governed and who have to pay taxes to these things, that is one difference between, and I think that's similar in Florida, but I don't know Florida law, but these are actually taxes, not, HOA assessments. They're true taxes, and they're ad valorem taxes, and they often have the power of eminent domain, and you don't have the ability to elect.
Oh, they have the power. They have the power of eminent domain as well.
Yeah, well, not all of them, but it's something that they can provide for. Yeah.
Wow.
And worse, they get the MUDs to have the power to enforce restrictions. So now all of a sudden, you have a government body intruding into what is being represented to all the buyers is, oh, these are private restrictions. Ha ha ha. And the governmental body can't, you know, how does it lose? It has the ability to tax everybody for its fees. You can't vote for who's in charge. Unlike, you know, an HOA has a bunch of powers, but guess who has even more? Local government. And, I mean, with respect to being able to take stuff from you and what kind of penalties they can impose upon you.
So when homeowners sit there and they say, oh, well, we don't want the HOA, we just, blah, blah, blah. How about we have all these MUDs and CDDs and CIDs and ABCs and...
Well, I'd like to see a change so that people at least get to vote on them.
Well, I'd like people to understand what they're voting on. I think that's a huge problem, Bill, because people don't understand and they don't know they're lied to.
Yeah.
And whether they actually do any research or, you know, you have to make a career of understanding all this gobbledygook that goes on. And most people says, right. Yeah, it sounds good. I don't have to have the HOA, my next door neighbor doing that. Fine. I'll just sign up on that. That's okay. But they don't understand what they're really getting into. Go on.
Well, I was going to share a quick funny story with you. I have he's not really opposing counsel in the case, but he's an attorney who's president of the HOA in this place, except it's a phony HOA. And I've mentioned this story before, but they sued my clients. My clients contacted me, and I looked into this. I'm like, this isn't the HOA. These are some guys pretending to be an HOA. And they filed a bunch of bogus paperwork with the state. So I went back and counterclaimed against them. Well, the counterclaim started back in 2014, and we were pretty aggressive in 2016 moving forward, and I've waited a year trying to get a hearing set on this thing, but I can't get any cooperation from the other side. So today, I get a call from, this attorney that happens to be on the board of the phony HOA, who wants me to reschedule this hearing, even though it's a summary judgment hearing, which I've given them a year. You know, we took forever. They wouldn't respond. Let's schedule a hearing. I set the hearing in April for more than 90 days out. It's right now set in June, and now they want to move it. Now that we've gotten up to, you know, when the hearing's going to be, they want to move it. I'm like, no, I don't think so. And the latest proposes that there should be a walk away. I'm like, my clients can't walk away from this. You're claiming to be an HOA with the authority to lean against their home, with charging them transfer fees and everything else. You're lying to title companies. You're lying to mortgage insurers. We don't want you involved at all in my client's property. We can't tolerate this. But there's something wrong with these people. They just have to have the ability or the power to control everywhere else. There's something wrong with them. I don't know what it is. But the idea that we can just walk away, you know, we were put in a defensive position to begin with by, you know, my clients got sued first and by somebody claiming to be the HOA. We start looking at it and go, they're not the HOA. And so we counterclaimed and sought a judgment for a determination that they're not the HOA. And now they're all panicky. But we've talked about developers and why they have these financial and economic interests, but there's also a human behavioral issue that's involved in all these things. It always is a big source of the problems. If somebody wants the ability to cause pain to somebody else, and homeowners do not have protection against these sociopaths and psychopaths or these people with antisocial disorders that tend to worm their way onto these HOA boards. And so, and of course, the HOA attorney, the management company, loves these people. In fact, I contend that's what those brainwashing seminars, you know, the new board member training that they always want to offer. To me, that is a certain recruitment process for identifying board members with antisocial personality issues, because that's who they want. Sorry, I got up on the soapbox there.
Have you ever attended any of those board member training sessions?
No, that's for leaders.
I'm not
a leader. That's only for board members. Oh, you did? What did they tell you?
I have. It was full of lies.
Oh, yeah.
So I sat there and told what they were saying was not true. I mean, this was years ago.
Did they come back? Did they kick you out?
No, they were very polite. They said, no, you're wrong. And then I insisted that I was not wrong. And then they go, oh, okay. So they changed their tune. But how many times have you heard these attorneys intentionally try to mislead people? They do it all the time.
Oh, yeah.
They do it all the time, Bill.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing. You won't believe this, but we're out of time. We sort of started at the beginning with little babies up in cages. up in the...
Please put that up on your website. On
I'm
your,
going
you know,
to.
Scheduling.
I'm going
yeah,
to.
So people can see.
People need to see that, and we've come full circle. We're headed back in that direction. People, you need to understand what's going on, and you need to put a stop to it. It's not just the legislators. You have the power. You have the power. Just stand up and yell. Bill, thank you.
The problem is people need housing.
Thank you, Bill.
And that's what the big one.
Yeah,
right,
no, I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. People need housing. They don't need the rest of the BS that goes along with that. Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.